Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Oh, what a morning. Oh, what a moment we have in our world of sports right now with the Final Fours on the way, the NBA going down the stretch, the NFL draft seemingly right around the corner. Let's get this started.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
12 from 14 straight away. Fuck it, it's good. Tie game.
This one was probably the hardest, my fault, you know, especially mentally.
If you're trying to ask a lot of him, how are you doing him and your organization any favors in a playoff situation when it comes to Philadelphia 76ers?
One of the big stories of the night, obviously, the return of Joel Embiid for the Philadelphia 76ers. They find a way to beat OKC, and they shape themselves up to be potentially the biggest threat to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. We'll have plenty of basketball conversation as we continue the show this morning. But I am thrilled because in the last moments before we came on, I was able to procure, in the absence of Hembo, I was able to procure not one but two outstanding guests to hang around after we wrap up Get Up this morning. So we will start with football conversation. Lewis Riddick and Kimberly Martin, good enough to hang around.
Lewis,
thank you,
Riddick,
guys.
Fave. This guy, he's a pro.
He's a pro.
Draft time?
Nobody I've pretty
better.
Much decided, Lewis, I want you here every day from now until the start
that's
of the draft.
Community.
Can
that's,
we do that?
That's a lot.
I don't know what
that's
the rest
lot,
of
but
your
you know
schedule
what, though?
Has. Yeah.
Hey, man, this is a good time of year, though. It is. It's a good time. The next couple of weeks. And, Kim, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You know, being called a pro.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's
like
the
that.
Best time of the year. Let's talk about some of the people who are about to become pros. What I really enjoyed about Get Up this morning was that we were able to really turn a lot of the draft conversations into – radio style conversations. Like we were just talking, Lewis. And so let's just go through it. Okay. And let's start right at the very top.
Yep.
It feels as though it has been written in Sharpie that the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams and that's it. Even though I have so many people, yourself included, telling me that if you had the pick, it might be Jaden Daniels. Mm. And even though Caleb Williams, to the best of my knowledge, he still hasn't gone there. He still hasn't done the physical. It feels like there are still some boxes to be checked before we can just decide, okay, number one is signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the next couple of weeks, it's going to be important to kind of monitor the conversation surrounding Caleb, surrounding Chicago. You know, is it all still kind of trending in that direction? Is it smooth sailing? Are there any kind of hiccups? Is there any kind of flies in the ointment, so to speak, as far as anybody expressing any kind of trepidation? I don't think you can rule that out. I'm just going to say that. I don't think you can rule it out, but I'm not trying to say that, you know, this isn't something that's inevitable. But who ultimately winds up being the best pro?
Yeah.
Who ultimately winds up having the longest career? Who ultimately winds up being able to elevate everyone around them within the context of where they go? Who is the best leader? Who is the guy who right now, when you're evaluating it, makes you really feel as though he is going to kind of like really immerse himself into the culture of the place that he's going, and everyone's going to kind of like pour into him the same way he's pouring into the organization? That's the feeling I got from Jaden Daniels.
Mm.
That's the feeling I got. That if you pour into him, invest into him, trust him, work with him, give him what he needs, I asked him that very question. What is it that Jaden Daniels needs? Are you asking these teams the same questions they're asking you? I asked Caleb that same thing. I asked Drake that same thing. It's important for you to ask them. And I think over the next couple of weeks, I think you could best believe, I would assume that Caleb Williams is asking Chicago some of those questions, right?
Hmm.
I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? That's not a knock against Matt Eberflus. That's not a knock against Ryan Poles. What that is, though, is a you taking ownership of your own career and saying, hey, look, you're asking me all these questions about me, about, you know, how did I get along with my teammates? What was I like in the meeting room? What was I like on third down? How did I handle this loss? What do I do in my spare time? Let me ask you a few things. What are you going to provide to me? What are you going to give me in terms of structure? Tell me about Shane Waldron. Tell me about how he's going to teach me. Matt, tell me how you like to coach. What's your schedule like? What's your practice schedule like? How do we travel? Those are all the things I'd be asking.
Yeah. And
because you have every right to.
How is this offensive staff that you've put together this year going to be different from last year's staff that you put together?
And why should I trust you?
Exactly. Yeah. But when we talk about Chicago and is this a great landing spot for a top-tier quarterback, in theory, the roster is better than what Justin Fields had.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of question marks. So I would not begrudge Caleb or any quarterback that could go in the top three saying, tell me about why this is the place for me. They should, because Chicago, one thing we've talked about ad nauseum is the fact that to this point, Chicago hasn't shown, regardless of who's in play in the front office, that they can draft a quarterback high, develop him, and win long-term with him. They have yet to show that. Maybe it changes in April.
Now, well, they've actually done the opposite. They've shown they can't.
What is interesting is, and I've heard Ryan Poles kind of like defend himself in this way, and I agree with him totally. Like, for him, my answer to the questions of what has happened in the past here as far as this position is concerned, I would just say, hey, I wasn't here. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, just judge me off of what I'm doing, though, right now. Look at how I beefed up this offensive line, which is going to be, which was one of the best in the NFL, which was, not, I believe, number two in the NFL in run block win rate last year, mm-hmm. and top five in pass block win rate. If you're a young quarterback, I think you'd like to stand behind that offensive line. Would you like to throw to Keenan Allen? Mm-hmm. Sure. Would you like to throw to DJ Moore? Mm-hmm. Sure. Would you like to hand it off to DeAndre Swift? You sure would. So, look, if I'm Ryan Poles right now, I'm going, hey, look, you can have whatever issues you have with the ownership group here and with what Matt Nagy did here and anybody else that was here before me. Mm-hmm. But what I'm doing, it speaks for itself. Now, has it translated to wins on the field, division titles and all? Not yet. And they are in a hell of a division. Because there's some teams that are going to be a lot better this year. The Packers are coming. We already know that. And Detroit's already here.
Right.
So there's some things. But I really do think things are looking on the up and up in Chicago. I really do.
By the way, Field Yates has a new mock draft out, and he has the Bears taking Rome Odunze, who is a sensational receiver from Washington. I feel like the conversation has become about Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers.
Do you realize, like, Bears take Rome Odunze?
Yeah.
And they get Caleb, and they draft Caleb or Jaden or whoever the heck it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You realize what they've got going on now?
Yeah.
Between Keenan Rome, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, that offensive line that I just said, objectively, you can't argue the fact that they were the second best run blocking team in the NFL last year. Number two in a top five pass blocking team. If you're a young quarterback, you're probably going, yeah, okay, sign me up for that. But ask the right questions.
Greeny and Kmart and Lewis are all here as we look forward to the draft. By the way, as we look at Fields' mock draft, he has Caleb Williams going one to the Bears. He has Jaden Daniels going two to Washington. He has Drake May going three to the Patriots. And then subsequently he has a trade at five, Minnesota coming up to get J.J. McCarthy. But I want to talk about May for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because when this past season began, the conversation was all, is it going to be Caleb Williams or Drake May for one and then two?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that has fallen apart. He did not have a great season. There are questions on the tape. I get it. I hear it from all of you guys. But you were telling me when you stood next to him at his pro day, all the stuff that makes it so easy to fall in love with him was right there.
Yeah, it smacks you right in the face. Look, he's putting in the work to get better. See, the one thing with Drake is that you can't do, and everyone becomes victims of at this time of year, is people like to say, well, this is what he is. No, that's what he was. Mm-hmm. You have to project what he is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Where he gets drafted and how you evaluate him right now is not the be-all and end-all. That's not the final book on the kid. And if you watched him last year on tape and then you watched him in his pro day, you're already seeing the progression. You're already seeing the development. And then you also get to see, like, I think of some of the throws he made against Clemson late in the season. Some of the touch throws, some of the pure horsepower throws where he had to drive the football. Some of the deep balls that he threw, I think it was against Miami, to Tez Walker. Mm-hmm. Some of the deep posts that he just kind of touches in there with a combination of power and touch. He has got it all. And he is refining his mechanics to the point where it's repeatable over and over and over again. Whether he's throwing right, he's throwing left, he's throwing short, intermediate, deep. He's trying to get it to where he can repeat those same things over and over, because that's what it's all about for him. But then when you just look at and you want to like compare, okay, well, what does the ball look like when it comes out of Caleb's hands? What's the ball look like when it comes out of Jaden's hands? And what does it look like and what does it sound like when it comes out of Drake's? It sounds like, you know, when you go to like a sporting event and they shoot the jerseys up in the stands,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you hear that
the t-shirt gun. Yeah.
That's what the hell the ball sounds like when it comes out of his hand.
That's good.
It is like zoom and it is gone. His deep ball, like he was throwing it so high and with such great arc. I was like, is he trying to hit the damn roof? And the ball would just drop in there, like, bing. And I'm telling you, there were people there who were like, you would just hear this audible gasp, like, like, man.
Kmart.
He's got it now.
I need you to call the Giants and tell them what I've been saying all along. The perfect scenario for the Giants is to get Drake May. Because if you look at Josh Allen, let's call Josh Allen Frankenstein's monster, right? I mean, he came in with a lot of questions, more question marks than Drake May has right now. Mm-hmm. And Brian Daboll was the quarterback guru, genius, whisperer, whatever it is. It got him a head coaching job because he did the work. He developed him beautifully. That's who Drake May is. Drake May is exactly that guy. And if you don't want to play him immediately, the Giants have the guy. They have Daniel Jones. They have to play him another year no matter what.
Can I take it just a step further?
Go.
What you said as far as the development is concerned. Yeah. Guys are going outside of the structure of the teams that draft them to get tutored.
Mm-hmm. They all have their own QB coach.
Exactly, and for good reason. If you listen to some of the stories of some of the quarterbacks who have come out, let's just say in the past 10 years, and some of the horror stories that they have about asking for guidance in some of these organizations about how do I get better? What are you seeing with my mechanics? What are you seeing with my decision making? Well, how do I just give me what to work on and get better? And you know what? I mean, there were some quarterbacks who were talking about coaches just giving them the advice of, yeah, you just need to work harder. You need to put in more time. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not helping me.
Well, I think again, the reason I keep bringing up Matt Eberflus's offensive staff is because we watch a guy in Carolina, Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that he did that it's not obviously partly on him, right? The real issue in Carolina was the staff. And like the staff that we thought was going to be so great when it came together, everybody wasn't on the same page between Frank Reich and everyone else as far as like how do we put Bryce in a situation where he can still thrive? And that's why I completely understand why a lot of these quarterbacks have their own people, because I want to know that I have somebody in my ear who I trust. The downside to it is in a Zach Wilson type situation when there are five different people now talking in his ear between his own coach, the team's got a bunch of people. And the Jets did talk about how after his first year, like that was an issue, and they tried to scale it back, obviously.
Yeah, there's two different components to it. Those is kind of what I'm saying with Josh Allen. There's the mechanical and fundamental piece to it, which affects your ability to throw the football the same every play and put it exactly where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, he worked with guys like Jordan Palmer to get himself right to where, you know, they used motion capture technology to study everything from the ground up. Like, here, this is how you got off kilter here. Your base was not here. Your follow through didn't look right here. And so these guys kind of can look at that. That's what Caleb's doing right now. He's working on that kind of stuff right now. Drake May is working on that kind of thing right now to kind of iron out the inconsistency as far as his completion percentage. When Josh Allen came into the league, what was the number one thing people said about him? He was like a sawed-off shotgun. Like, the ball would go everywhere.
Yeah.
You knew it was powerful, but you just didn't know where it was going to land.
Mm-hmm.
Now you kind of know where it's going because he worked hard. I guess that's what I'm saying about Drake. He's working on that. Caleb is trying to take that to a whole nother level with the people that he's working with down in Florida, down in Jacksonville. And Jaden is working on it as well. And you see, look, completion percentage is not an issue with Jaden Daniels. He can put the ball where he needs to. My point being, with Drake May, project forward, don't look so much backwards, because it's all out ahead of him if he's around the right people.
I know you want Drake May to the Giants. Can I just throw out J.J. McCarthy? Keep an eye on the Giants, Minnesota, Patriots, all sort of circling J.J. McCarthy. And it'll be interesting to see in those buildings whose voice actually wins out as far as who they want. And then at three, what the Patriots do, because that will know what the Vikings are able to do and what the Giants, and then ultimately the Raiders as well.
Greeny with you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. One more thing. Are either of you good friends with Joe Douglas?
No.
Because I'm begging you to call him. Do not let him take the tight end.
Well,
so Field Yates has him taking Brock Bowers.
He might listen to Field.
Listen.
What do you want? What do you want there?
Offensive lineman.
We need more linemen.
Yeah, you got two aging offensive tackles.
You got in Field's mock draft, the only lineman he has off the board by the time the Jets pick at 10 is Joe Alt.
Yeah.
So that leaves your choice of Talisi Fuaga.
Everybody.
Olu Fashanu.
Yeah.
Troy Fatanu, who projects to be a guard in the NFL. The Jets season will not be made or broken by how well their tight ends play.
That's
true. Look how calm Lewis is talking now, right? About yeah, I could see. Offensive line, yeah, I could see. Yeah. When we were on Get Up, Lewis was like, absolutely not. Throwing helmets, absolutely not. The Jets are not winning the AFC East.
Don't you think they need to take another lineman?
Exactly.
Either at 10 or trade back. You want to trade back and take a lineman? You know, if there are this many of them still on the board and someone wants to come up to get Bowers or to get a quarterback at number 10, go back.
My answer is yes.
Yes.
They need offensive linemen.
Yes.
No, come on. I mean, they don't need a tight end. Mm-hmm. You got to protect the quarterback. You have aging offensive tackles who have a spotty injury history, especially on the left tackle. Of course you do. You need depth. You need power. You need youth. You need guys who can dance with these pass rushers that right now are just wrecking the league. And you have a 40-plus-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles. Let's not be dumb about this. We understand how this goes.
Call Joe.
I'm literally, yes.
Text him.
You got his number.
Joe Douglas says, whatever Greeny wants.
Yes, that's it. I want a lineman. I don't care whichever one he likes best, yeah, but don't let it be the tight end. Not because he isn't a great player. I think the kid is going to be a really good player, but that's not what they need.
I think last season, hopefully, for your benefit, scared the Jets so much where it was like, if we don't keep this guy upright, we saw how bad things could get. We cannot take that chance.
You know when we care about offensive linemen? It's always, remember, what's the conversation usually centered around in December and January on this show?
Yeah.
Like, this quarterback's getting his brains beat. Yeah. This quarterback can't get protected. Yeah. This team can't run the ball. This team can't stop that team from running the ball. We care about it then, but we always talk about wide receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends, pretty guys right now. It's always like that.
To your point, we talk about it when the games are being played. In the offseason,
it's always about the trenches.
Yeah.
But right now.
When the season starts, that's what
actually matters. And there's going to be 4, 5, 6 Pro Bowlers on the offensive line drafted this year. Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about a guy like Graham Barton from Duke, who's probably going to be an all-pro.
Love him.
He's going to be an all-pro guard.
The center,
just
right?
Nasty.
He's going to be great.
Nasty.
I love him.
Absolutely.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. You guys are the best. Thank
you.
I could do this forever.
We will be here all month, baby.
Take a quick break. Did you guys hear the Hembo news, by the way?
Where is he?
Congratulations,
Hembo. Oh, we got big news.
Oh, that's right.
You'll hear it next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I touched on it right before we went to the break. For those of you who didn't see it, Hembo's not here today. He is otherwise occupied, and he's going to be a lot into the future. Hashtag Cam and hashtag Bubba. The news is out, and it is good. Hembo and his wife Lizzie are expecting their third daughter, In August, they already have the two twin girls. One of them is named Michelle. And then there's the other one. And now there's going to be a third one. And so my question is, guys, what do we think that they need to name her? What would be the right name? There's no question that Michelle is the superior of, you know, of the kids to this point, because she is my namesake. And so I thought if they had a boy, it would work out well. They could name the boy Michael. Mm-hmm. Can you name a girl Michael? Like, I mean, you know, they use names sort of sometimes interchangeably.
You can pretty much do anything you want these days, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No. So I'm just wondering, what do you think? Like, is there a girl's version of Cam?
I mean, Cameron can be a girl.
Cameron.
Name.
Cameron. That's right. Cameron Diaz.
That's my full name. So.
And your full name is Cameron Diaz?
No. My full
Cameron
name is,
Diaz Pratt.
My full name is Cameron, but you can, yeah, women can be named Cameron.
I don't know why that just tickled me.
Didn't realize what I was confirming there. Are you Stephen A. Smith?
Everyone found that funny yesterday.
Except for the nurse.
I'll get back to that one in a minute. But Bubba, what is the female version of Brendan?
Brenda.
That's right. Brenda. So how about Brenda Hembikidis?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I don't mind that.
Just go straight Bubba. I mean, let's just go.
Is there a female version of Bubba?
I mean, that was their current daughter's first word. So, I mean.
Maybe Bubba could be kind of like Barbara.
Let's get right to it.
If you had a little bit of a speech thing, it could be like Bubba, Barbara. I mean, they have a similarity.
You know, I think clearly they're honoring members of the show here. So I think, you know, they did Michelle.
That's weird. One of them did.
Yeah. The other one did not. Was questionable. So
that may have been a family thing.
Yeah.
You know, which is right, over.
So we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
So let's
get down to business here.
So it's,
what is the name of the other one, by the way?
I think Carlos or Christina.
What do you mean Carlos? There's no way in the world the other girl is named Carlos. I mean, that would be a big upset.
I think it's...
These are my daughters, Michelle and Carlos.
It's Durham or Raleigh. Charlotte, yeah.
It's Charlotte?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Now that you say that.
But
there's a Michelle and a Charlotte.
What if they name the next one Pineapple Jackie?
Yeah, well, that's it. They could name them for Jack or Brandon. I mean, there's a lot of... Brandy? Is a good girl's name. So one way or another, Hembo and his wife are.
It's got to be show related.
Expecting.
I mean, come on.
He told me that yesterday morning, by the way. And do you know what the first thing I said to him was before I said congratulations? How much time are you taking off this time?
Yeah, great question. We were just trying to figure out and do the math because obviously they're a few months along or whatever it is now.
Due in August.
So all right. So I mean, this is going to be again. Is this going to be?
Is this going to spill into the football season?
Oh, my God. He's going to miss all of football season.
How's he going to do? Because last time he missed the entire summer.
Right. Well, he got double the paternity leave because he had two kids.
All right.
This time he only gets a couple months.
So that's
he's not going to cheat the system this time.
And my son, Steven, was born on a Tuesday. I came back to work Thursday. And I worked Tuesday.
Well, as we talked about yesterday.
He was born in the afternoon on a Tuesday. I took Wednesday off to bring him home from the hospital, and then I went back to work on Thursday.
The Jets were in the middle of a big playoff race then, so it makes sense.
It was December of 2002. It was the last time. The true story of that is, and I touched on it yesterday, the Jets played the Bears. I want to say, Steve, you would look up the date of that game. It was December of 2002, and it was the game where Wayne Krabbet got turned upside down and fumbled, and the Jets lost, and it looked like it was going to cost them getting into the playoffs. It should have. They got a miracle befell them, like the last weekend of the season. They beat Favre and the Packers, and something happened between Miami and New England. I don't remember what, but like the Jets needed a miracle to get in at the end because they had lost this game to Chicago. So give me the date on that game.
December 15th.
Okay. Stevie is 5 days old. He was born on December 10th, 2002. So I have a five-day-old in the house. So Krabbet gets flipped upside down and fumbles, and I'm ready to break something. And Stace just puts the baby in my arms. She just knows that will calm down at least a little bit if I'm holding a five-day-old. But that may be how Steven developed his attitude about the Jets, because when he was 5 days old, my negativity just seeped into his pores. after the Jets lost what could have been and looked like it might be in the moment a season.
By the way,
game.
I found the email Hembo sent last year for his child bonding.
Yeah.
He was off from May 1st through August 25th. He was gone all of May, all of June, all of July, and essentially all of August.
Remember, it's called child bonding, too. I can't tell you how many pictures I saw of Hembo and Lizzie on boats by themselves, at Broadway shows by themselves. Yeah, like, did they spend
there was bonding
any time
going
with
on,
these
but
kids?
It wasn't child bonding.
So we got that. So anyway, we got Hembo's having the baby. We'll see how we will manage to work our way around that. We got NBA action tomorrow. Clippers Nuggets presented by Indeed, 9:30 Eastern. On most of these ESPN radio stations. And then maybe most importantly, we have this.
That will do it. This time, it's Iowa. The Hawkeyes are headed back to the Final Four. Galactic greatness from Caitlin Clark on display yet again.
Our guy Ryan Rucca with a very nice call at the finish. And yesterday, if you were listening to the show, we were speculating about what the rating would be. And it did not come until much later in the day than it usually does. And the big question, just for those of you, now we're just going super inside baseball here on the television business. But everyone knew the rating was going to be big. And the question was, which side of 10 million will it come in on? The game last year had done, what was it, 8.9 or something like that? Had been the championship game last year.
I think it was 9.8.
Was it 9.8? I forget what it was.
It was 9.9. It was on ABC and ESPN2.
Was last year's championship game?
Yes.
Okay. And so the big conversation was it going to get to 10? And then the number comes and it's 12.3 million viewers. Now, I opened the show yesterday by talking about Pat Summitt and how proud she must be, wherever it is she's watching this. Even Pat Summitt didn't expect it to be 12.3 million. That is a ridiculously high number. Lest you be wondering, how do you put into perspective 12.3 million viewers? Well, let me give you some comparisons. Purdue, Tennessee, and the Elite Eight for the men on Sunday did 10.4 million. The Golden Globes this year did 9.5 million. The final round of the Masters last year did 12.1 million. That means that Iowa-LSU the other night outrated all of those, plus it outrated every game of the World Series, and it outrated four of the five NBA Finals games. That's how many people watched an Elite Eight matchup on a Monday night between Iowa and LSU. And wait, there's more. Sportsbooks say they did record numbers for this game. It was the most bet women's game of all time at sportsbooks across America, including ESPN Bet, DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, and Caesars. All of them confirmed that to ESPN. So this was a happening in a way that I cannot recall a woman's sporting event in this country being that was not an international competition. So the times when it feels as though the world has stopped and watched women's sports have included in my lifetime, as a 50-year now fan of sports, and I have done, I don't know that anyone has followed sports more than I have over the last 50 years. It happens with the Women's World Cup in soccer. It happens in the Olympics. Usually the figure skating, the gymnastics, some of the bigger, more popular, Olympic events, the ones that tend to draw the most viewers and the most general interest. Obviously, Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding jumps to mind for all sorts of ridiculous reasons that go beyond sports as one of those times where the entire world stopped and was paying attention to it. To some degree, we get that in tennis. So the Williams sisters, maybe a generation ago, Chrissy and Martina. But what I'm trying to say is this is a very, very rare occasion. But unlike all of those, it not only felt like the culmination of something, it also felt like the beginning of something. if you right now could buy stock in women's basketball, what are the terms they use? I'd rate it a buy. I would pour every dollar I had into the continued growth of that sport. Caitlin Clark, maybe she's a once-in-a-lifetime level star, but she's by no means the only one. And the amount of attention and interest and excitement that this thing generated and how extraordinarily well played the game was. I mean, I defy anyone to watch that game and not be endlessly entertained. If you love sports, it was a magnificent game. It wasn't just interesting because it was Caitlin Clark. It wasn't just interesting because of the rivalry with LSU. It wasn't just interesting because of Angel Reese. It wasn't just interesting because of Kim Mulkey. It had absolutely everything that great sporting events have. It had a cast of characters that were well known, and it had incredibly compelling action practically to the very end. And it had the kind of legendary performance that will be talked about forever. So that's a record that I expect to be broken. And I'm not saying that women's college basketball is about to displace, I don't know, baseball is one of the – that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it now has a different seat at the table than it has had at any time in my lifetime. And that is only – that seat is only going to get better and better. It's going to keep getting moved to more appealing places in the restaurant until they have a table that is the equal of practically anyone's. That's what I think we just saw. So this was, for those who pay attention to such things and care about such things, this was a genuinely historic event. And I was, not just for ESPN, because clearly this was great news for us, but for all the people who paid it forward, for all the people who built that thing brick by brick, again, beginning not exclusively with, but in large part beginning with Pat Summitt, who, as I told you yesterday, when she first became the women's coach at Tennessee, her players would practice during the day, and then she would wash their uniforms. She would wash their uniforms at night so they had clean uniforms to wear the next day. And when they went on road trips, frequently they could not afford to stay in hotels, so they would bring sleeping bags, and they would sleep in gyms, on the floor of the gyms in sleeping bags. It is really a shame that Pat Summitt did not live to see 12.3 million people watch these women play the other night. But as I said, wherever she is, I have zero doubt that she's proud of it. The only person I think that I know who didn't watch this game was Bubba. Bubba, I think you being at the Larry David talk.
Yeah.
What, he did like a TED talk the other night?
Yeah. So me, Larry, Bill Simmons, and about maybe 4,500 people definitely did not watch it.
You were the only ones. If you had, do you realize this would have done 12.4 million viewers?
It could have been higher if it wasn't for Larry David doing a show in Boston.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're
classic,
like,
Larry.
You know, you're literally the only person I know who didn't watch it. No Hembo today, but Cam is going to do trivia today. Uh-oh. And he's going to take a shot at group trivia. So we got Brandon here. Do we have Pineapple Jack anywhere? We all got to get in on guesses. All right, Cam, do it.
All right, we have two trivia questions today, so we're going to start with group trivia.
Okay.
This is more of a do you remember one. So Bryce Harper, 3 homers last night, his first hits of the season. We're looking for the 4 players who have hit 3 homers in a single World Series game.
4 players who've hit 3 home runs in a single World Series game. The answer next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Cam, sneaky trivia brought to you by Tax Act. Let's get them over with. Here's the question. Cam, go.
Yep, we're looking for the four players who have hit three homers in a single World Series game.
All right, so, I mean, everyone knows one of them. So, certainly everyone my age remembers when Reggie Jackson did it. So, Reggie Jackson is most certainly one of them.
That is correct. Right. 1977.
Game 1977.
Game six. Well done. Versus the Dodgers. The Yankees win the game 8-4 and the series 4-2.
Yeah. That one.
That one we knew all along. I'm almost positive Babe Ruth did it, Bubba. And since we got to go with him,
most
right?
Most logical guess. So let's throw him
I'm
out
almost
there.
Positive Babe Ruth is one of them.
That is correct. Babe Ruth did it twice.
Hey,
Babe Ruth did it in 1926 and 1928, Game 4, both versus the Cardinals.
Okay.
So that's two.
Now I don't really have any.
No, so because I'm positive. Here's the things I know. I can tell you a bunch of people who didn't. I can tell you that Mantle didn't. I can tell you DiMaggio didn't. I can tell you Yogi Berra didn't. I mean, I can tell you a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm. But being able to tell you who didn't is not quite as good as telling you who did.
Sure.
So Pineapple Jack and I were kind of putting our heads together on teams, because more home runs are hit recently than used to be. So just teams that have been in the World Series a lot in relatively recent years. So here's the two names we came up with. Should we go with the Pujols? Okay, I do too. We're going to go with Albert Pujols.
That's correct.
Oh!
What a pull by Pineapple Jack.
What game did he do that in?
2011, Game 3. The Cardinals won that game 16-7. Obviously, that's the famous David Freese series, and they win the series 4-3. But Pujols, three homers and a Game 3 win for the Cardinals. You have one more left.
I mean, the only other name I'm thinking is Ortiz, but I have no...
That's who we're thinking of. Yeah. We're thinking of Big Poppy, just because he was there. I feel like I would remember
him
doing it.
He's got so many chances of doing it.
It's not A-Rod. It's not any of the Yankees.
I have no recollection of him doing it, like you said, but he was so many opportunities to do it, and all he did was hit home runs.
Okay.
I mean,
you want to try it?
Well, that's the best
guess. I don't
guess
have a better
have.
Guess.
Yeah.
I don't have. No, Bubba's agreeing with us. Okay, we're going to guess David Ortiz.
That is not right.
Oh, damn it. Is it someone obvious that we're thinking of?
It is not someone obvious.
Is it
obvious.
Buster Posey? We're trying to think of people on the Giants.
It is not Buster Posey. It is Pablo Sandoval. Did it in 2012,
Pablo
Game 1
Sandoval.
Versus the Tigers.
Kung Fu Panda?
He hit three homers in Game 1. I heard you guys kicking around those Giants teams. Pablo Sandoval did it
for
them.
Oh, my God.
You got
How
three out of four.
How could that have happened and me forget it?
It was 12 years ago.
But still, like you would, those are things that should stick in your mind. Oh, that is – all right, it's a good question. How quickly do we think Hembo would have gotten it?
5 seconds.
I mean, do we think Hembo's not listening right now? Because you would think if he was listening, we would have heard from him already on the whole daughter's name controversy and everything else. And he would have texted – maybe he didn't want us to get it right, but he could have easily texted in the answer one way or the other.
His wife did leave this morning, I believe, so he is looking after the kids, so he might be preoccupied.
Quite overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He's going to get more overwhelmed once he's not playing man-to-man anymore in August.
Did you take that term from me, or is that one that you've heard before?
Oh, people say that.
Oh, people. That's not just my term. I always used to say that once you go from your second kid to your third kid, you have to play zone.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big difference for me. Like, when you have the one kid, here's how I describe the difference from one kid to two kids. I've never had a third kid, so I can't speak to it. When you have your first child, it's like having a tornado blow through your life. Like, you know, everything is very discombobulated, but after a little period of time, you pick up all the chairs and all the tables and put them back where they belong, and things get back to some sort of normalcy. Having a second is like having an atomic bomb go off in your life. nothing is ever where it's supposed to be again. Everything is just completely different. That's the reason I don't have a third, because I just couldn't do it. I just was positive. For me as a parent anyway, I felt that putting literally everything I had into both of my children was the right thing to do, and I just knew there wasn't any more of me to do it. So I have no – Hembo, who has so little to begin with, I have no idea how he's going to manage this. Like, I just think this is fraught with concern.
Those kids are going to love Ken Burns baseball, because anytime that he is like frazzled or anything, he's just going to be like, all right, we're sitting in the bassinet, the crib or whatever. I'm turning on Ked Burns and we're going to learn about some baseball history, and they're going to fall asleep immediately. It'll be a perfect trick, but they're going to love.
What bedtime stories do you think Hembo will read right now? So the reason Hembo's not here is because his wife, Lizzie, is traveling. Yeah. Lizzie is traveling with our coverage of the Final Four. So he's home right now with the two twins who are, what, like two-ish?
I think they're 1.5 or something like that.
They're some age. So
they are some age.
They're an age of some kind. And they're most undoubtedly the kind of age that you read them a story. What stories – can either of you picture Hembo like reading like a Dr. Seuss book to them? Like, can you picture Hembo being like, I do not like them, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. I just can't picture it.
I could, yes, but I could also picture him like correcting the – you know, like the cadence of the rhyming or something like that. He's like, well, that's not quite what I would have written, but let's go to the next page.
Okay. Anyway, congratulations.
The scoop.
I got a scoop. Someone sent a stat into the GetUp email chain that I really liked. Now, it's to call it a stat, it's not really that. It's just an observation, but it's one I had not otherwise made. Do you see how many games in front, Bubba, the Celtics are of the second place team in the Eastern Conference right now, which happens to be Milwaukee? Do you see the gap between first and second place in the Eastern Conference?
I have seen that, yes. 12.
It's 12 games.
12.
That is greater than the gap between first place and 10th place in the Western Conference. The gap between first and second in the East is greater than the gap between first and 10th in the West. Now, that I don't know what that means. I don't know how to compartmentalize it. I don't really know what to say about it, except to say I find it fascinating. The only thing I can think of that it reminds me of, someone looked this up. I don't have Hembo to do it. In the year 2000, Tiger Woods so obliterated the field at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach that he literally humiliated everyone. That's what the Celtics are doing to the rest of the Eastern Conference. Can you pull up the leaderboard from the men's U.S. Open in 2000 at Pebble Beach? Tell me when you have it in front of you.
Yeah, okay. Tiger Woods.
What was Tiger Woods' winning score?
Minus 12.
What was the second place score?
Couple people had plus 3.
Couple people had plus 3. What was the next score?
Plus 4, plus 5. They were all, you know, bunched up.
My point is there was a huge bunch of people that were all in the plus 3 to plus 6 range. And Tiger was minus 12. He beat the field by 15 shots. And the point is it's not like the gap from second to third was also 5 shots. Like something crazy had gone on. He had just done something that was otherworldly, that was not the play of a human being, but it was the play of some greater life form that came from some other planet and played that golf course that weekend, and everyone else just played the regular game of golf. That's what the Celtics have done to the Eastern Conference. So what that tells you is the amount of pressure on them to at least get to the finals this year, I think, is overwhelming. And I'm not sure how well that sits there. We'll talk more about it in a minute. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.